Revelation chapter number 12, we'll begin reading verse number 1, and just try to be an encouragement tonight and a help to us. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them into the earth, or cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. She brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was there found place found anymore in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives until the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she may fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let's read the entire chapter of Revelation chapter 12. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in your house tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd help me, Lord, to say some things, Lord, be encouraging to our hearts tonight. Thank you for the precious Word of God. I pray, Lord, you illuminate my mind, guard these lips of clay, Father, tonight, and help me to say what is needful, necessary, and Lord, encourage us, Father. I do pray tonight, hold back all the opposing powers, Lord, and the hindrances, Lord. I pray that you just help us, Lord, tonight to worship in spirit and in truth, and help us as we study the precious Word of God. Have your will and way in all that's said and all that's done. We'll thank you, and Lord, we'll praise you for what's accomplished. In Jesus' loving name we pray, amen. As we look in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, there's some things that you will read, and without studying your Bible, you'll get the wrong impression, you'll get the wrong idea, and that's what happens a lot of times. There's a lot of commentators, which are nothing but commentators, amen. They'll say something just because they read it and that's what they think. That's not what's in the context of the verses. You can't back up a lot of those commentators' thoughts with Scripture. And so we're to compare Scripture with Scripture, amen. Scripture is written for our learning, and we compare all those things, amen, what we read to the Word of God. So as we begin reading, we find that the Bible says there was a great wonder in heaven, and no doubt it was a great wonder, the things that was going on, and we see that as we look at that. And then let me just point out a couple of things real quickly, and then we'll go back to looking at these verses. But if you notice there, the Bible says that in verse number 3, they hold a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Now, if you give that to Disney or if you give that to some of these other Hollywood movie makers, amen, they can make some kind of wild-looking creature, amen. A red dragon with all kinds of heads and horns and tails and all that kind of stuff. That's absolutely not what it's talking about. If you read that, you're thinking and let your mind wander with you. You think about a red dragon from China that's got a bunch of heads and horns and all that kind of stuff and crowns on his heads. That's not what the Bible is speaking of. The red dragon, it's called a red dragon. We know that the dragon is called the devil, the serpent. But it's called red because of his anger, his fury, his wrath, he's mad. And that's why he's red. He's red with anger. And you know, a lot of times our children get mad and they make a red face. You know, the face gets really red because they're mad. And so the red dragon is his hatefulness or wrath. He's angry. And the seven heads, ten horns, and the seven crowns speaks of his power, his authority on earth. He doesn't have all power, but he does have some power. And that is speaking of his power and his authority at the time that this is taking place. He doesn't have all power. Don't misunderstand that. But he does have some power. And notice verse 4 says, his tail drew third part of the stars of heaven. We know in Genesis the Bible says that when Lucifer fell from heaven, he took one third part of the angels with him. Amen? And that's a lot of angels. And so we understand as we read that, that he's taken the stars, one third part of his tail, and we'll look at all that, try to explain it as we go along. But there's things that we read in the Scripture that I want to point out to you. When it talks about the woman that flees into the wilderness, it's not a woman that flees to the wilderness. Amen? It's Israel that flees to the wilderness. And we'll find that all throughout the Bible. And God's dealing with the children of Israel. And He sent them 40 years in the wilderness. We talked about that several times. Verse 14 said, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. And she was that she may fly into the wilderness. Now, I haven't found anywhere in Scripture that explains how she flies into the wilderness, other than the only thing I can figure is swiftly, that she went fast there to the wilderness. Or it could be that God just puts her there. Amen? Just as the disciples was in the middle of the sea, the next thing you know, they're on the seashore, and God just put them there. Amen? And that may be what takes place. But anyway, I want to try to point a few things out, so when you read this, don't just grasp at straws and think that there's a woman going to grow big wings and there's going to be a seven-headed devil or dragon-looking thing with all these heads and tails. And you know, that's not what it's going to be, amen? So we have to understand the Bible as we read it. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. That is dealing with Israel. All right, the great tribulation period is called in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, the time of Jacob's trouble. It is true that we should stand with Israel, pray for Israel, defend Israel against her enemies, but we must not forget that God has a serious case against Israel because of their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel is still rejecting Jesus Christ. Amen? They're still looking for the Messiah. He's already came, he's already gone, he's coming again, but they're still looking for him. And so Israel is very hostile to Christ, and that's their problem. Once Israel turns to Christ, their troubles will all be over. But until then, amen, they're going to have trouble. The book of Revelation emphasizes these truths about Israel. The scene for John now is a great wonder in heaven, which is that of a woman with child. Verse number 1 identifies the woman as Israel in the number 12. Notice, there's as you study the Bible, you know there's 12 tribes corresponding to the 12 sons of Jacob, and we see that there's a crown of 12 stars. And so that's identifying who this great wonder is. It's none other than Israel. Verse number 2 says, she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Now, a lot of commentators, a lot of people say, a lot of theologians, I guess you would say, a lot of them say that this is Mary. This is referring to Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, because she gave birth to Christ. And the Bible says that she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And they naturally assume, I guess, that that'd be Mary. But that's absolutely wrong. It's not Mary that it's talking about. We know that Jesus Christ was born in Israel. Amen? He's of the seed of David. Amen? Is everybody with me? All right? Some say this is referring to Mary, the mother of Christ, and giving birth to Jesus, but overall picture is that of Israel. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 3. Let me read that to you real quickly. Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. All right? Go to chapter number 9 of the book of Romans, verse number 4 and verse number 5. The Bible says, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. And so the Bible simply backs up the Bible, amen, that it is Jesus Christ that was born out of Israel. The Old Testament, Israel is often compared to a woman and even a woman in travail. The apostate world system is also compared to a harlot, and the church is compared to a bride. Amen? So we understand that tonight is dealing with the woman in travail, is dealing with Israel, that Jesus Christ came out of Israel. All right, the woman with child is the first wonder, which is a son being born and then is called up to the throne of God. That's the wonder that John sees and that he's talking about. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. And it is that Jesus Christ was born and then called up to be with God in heaven at the throne of God. The second wonder is the great dragon. No doubt we all know that to be the devil, Satan. Verse number 9 makes that clear, that who it is. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, cast out into the earth, and his angels was cast out with him. So we know very clearly who that is. It is the devil. The color red associated with blood and death, and Satan is a murderer from the beginning. John chapter 8, verse 44. The heads, the horns, and crowns will appear again in Revelation chapter 13, and again in Revelation chapter 17, you'll find where they appear again. The heads and horns show Satan has power. Again, as I said, he doesn't have all power, but he does have some power. He is powerful. And the crowns tell us that he will be honored in a Satan-dominated world. Amen? He'll be honored. Now listen, we talk about a Satan-dominated world. That's not far-fetched. That's not hard to believe in the days we're living in. Amen? I'm telling you, there's some wicked, ungodly people. I was looking on the Fox 8 News. They send a alerts out every time something stupid happens. They ought to call it the stupid alert. But anyway, something happens. Anyway, I got an email or a message last night, and it was a man that was convicted and sentenced for murdering his wife and his children. And Lord have mercy, I'm telling you, this is a wicked world when a man can strangle barehanded his wife and smothered both his children, and the four-year-old begged and said, "Please, Daddy, don't treat me like you did Mommy and Sissy." I'm telling you, it's a wicked world, amen? Satan-dominated world is not very far-fetched. It's not hard to believe. Listen, that day is getting closer than what you think, amen? We're living in some wicked times. Anyway, the Bible says, speaking of the devil, his tail also is a description of his influence. When he fell from heaven, he took one-third part of the angels with him. That's certainly not a small amount. This shows the influence he had on the other angels in his rebellion. It certainly brought others with him, amen? And we call them the demons, amen, the demonic forces that's with him. And we know that to be real. They are real. There's not a joke. It's not a myth. It is real. And they will attack and they will work against God's work and God's people. Can't possess God's people if God's people are truly born again and saved, amen. Can't have two spirits dwell in one body, amen. And so we make sure we're saved, born again. As soon as a child was born, Satan tried to destroy him. There was always a dragon standing by waiting to destroy Israel or the ancestors of the Messiah. Pharaoh is called a dragon. Ezekiel chapter 29 and verse number 3. Nebuchadnezzar is called a dragon in Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 34. When Christ was born, Satan used King Herod to try to destroy him. Satan thought that he had succeeded when he used Judas to betray the Lord Jesus Christ, handed him over to be crucified. What they didn't know was the cross actually is what defeated Satan. Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And so the cross, amen, where Satan tried to use King Herod to destroy Jesus Christ, was actually what defeated the devil. Today, Satan has access to heaven where he accuses God's people, but he cannot dethrone the exalted Savior. He works to persecute, to devour God's people if possible. Amen? Is everybody listening? The devil is allowed into heaven and he persecutes God's people. He accuses God's people. He's allowed to do that. Amen? He cannot dethrone the Savior. And some people have the mentality, have the idea that Satan's not allowed into heaven. It's a holy place. He's not allowed to go there. But you read the Bible in Job, the Bible says that Satan comes before God and has to give an account for his whereabouts. God says, "Where have you been?" Amen? And he says, "Well, I've been walking to and fro in the earth." So obviously he's allowed into heaven. And so he goes up there and the scripture says he's the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us before God. Well, thank God the blood's been applied. Amen. And Jesus Christ speaks up and says, "Hey, that's one of mine. Leave him alone." Amen. The blood's been applied. But as we look at this, we find the child is caught up into heaven. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 5. This describes Christ's glorious ascension. You find it through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and also the book of Acts, chapter number 1, verse number 9. Presently, Christ sits at the right hand of God, waiting until His enemies will be put under Him. And then we also see in verse number 6 that the woman flees into the wilderness. This is a future event that will occur during the Great Tribulation. It happens at the midpoint of Daniel's 70th week when the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel and sets himself up in the temple of God and sets out to persecute Israel. You remember at the first 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. He's going to allow Israel to go back to the temple to worship their God, to go through their sacraments and do all the things that they do, allow them to worship their God in the temple. And Abomination of Desolation right in the middle of that 3.5 years is when Satan's going to say, okay, you can no longer worship your God, you got to worship me. All right? And so we find this is the midpoint of the 70th week of the Antichrist when he breaks his covenant with Israel. Israel will flee into the wilderness and be supernaturally hidden and provisioned just as God provided their needs as they wandered through the wilderness in the Old Testament. Amen? Jesus spoke of this event in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15 through 21. When the Antichrist desecrates the temple, Israel must flee immediately, and those that are unable to flee will be killed. Now, as we study this and look at this scripture, I want you to understand, many people use Matthew chapter 24 as being an event that takes place in the church age. We have to understand what is going on in the church age. We have to understand what is going on after the church is raptured out. The church is raptured out at the end of Revelation chapter number 3, and we're not nowhere in the Revelation chapter number 12. This is God dealing with Israel. And Israel is going to return back to their temple, be able to worship. In the middle of that, the devil is going to allow them or tell them they can no longer worship their God. They got to worship Him. That's the abomination of desolation. That's what takes place. And the Bible says that the children of God will flee. Israel will flee into the wilderness. Amen? And you'll find that in Matthew chapter 24. Let me flip over there and read this. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 15. Just to help you understand your Bible a little bit better. And so many people like to pull out of Matthew chapter 24 and other parts of the Bible and tie it to the church age when it doesn't apply to the church. Matthew chapter 24, the Bible says in verse 15, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, there it is, when you shall see that spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Let me read on. Verse number 18. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in these days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. At the first part of the tribulation period, the first 3.5 years is called the tribulation. The last part of the tribulation is called the great tribulation period. As we read Matthew chapter 24, verse 15 through 21, we find that the Bible tells us that in these verses, it's dealing with the children of Israel. It is not dealing with the church. How many times have you heard people say or refer to this in Matthew chapter 24 in dealing with the church? Well, you better hope you're not pregnant when the Lord comes. Y'all ever heard that? There's a lot of other stuff that people say. Let him which is on the housetop come down and not come down and take anything out of his house. So when the Lord comes, you can't take nothing with you. You can't come down to your house because the Bible says don't come down to your house and get anything out of it. It's not talking to the church age. It's not talking to the church. All right? Is everybody with me? Good. I'm glad you're listening. Pray you therefore that your flight be not in the winter. You hope the Lord don't come when it's snowing. I mean, how stupid can you be? Amen? People just, I mean, they pull out of Scripture and get it to say all kinds of things. Amen? But this is dealing with the children of Israel. At the abomination of desolation, at the center part of the 7 years of tribulation, the first 3.5 years is over, the Antichrist has come on the scene and says, you can no longer worship your gods, you gotta worship me. That's the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And then he says, at that time stand in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Amen. Pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation. Verse 21. Such as was not since the beginning or of the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. All right? Everybody got that? I hope you're with me. When the Antichrist desecrates the temple, Israel will flee immediately, and those that are unable to flee will be killed. That's basically what that said in the Scriptures. If you can't run, you can't get away, you'll be dead. You'll die. Amen? Israel is protected in the wilderness for 3.5 years. This Scripture again says the beginning of the Great Tribulation period. We know that to be 3.5 years. This refers to the last 3.5 years of the Tribulation period. Revelation chapter 6 refers to this period as 1,260 days. The Jewish month was 30 days. So the 1,260 days is exactly 3.5 years. Revelation chapter 12 verse 14 describes this period as a time and times and a half a time. If you look in verse number 14, the latter part of the verse. In her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. So Israel will be protected from the devil for the 3.5 years of the tribulation, of the great tribulation period. A time is a year, times are 2 years, and a half a time is half a year. So that's 3.5 year period. Daniel chapter 7 verse 25, Daniel chapter 11 verse 24. So the woman is given 2 wings that she might fly into the wilderness. We're not told exactly what that means, other than the fact that it's stated here that somehow God's going to give them an ability to get there quickly to a place of safety. He might cause them to be caught away, as Philip, Acts chapter 8, verse 39. But the devil will cast a flood, verse 15 and 16, he will cast a flood of water after the woman in an attempt to destroy her. Verse number 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Verse number 16 says, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her up and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. So in these two verses, we find that the woman is going to be able to escape that. There's a possibility that the floods of water could refer to armies because God uses this symbolism in Isaiah chapter 8, verse number 7. But it's most likely what I believe and other Bible believers believe, amen, is it's most likely a literal flood of water that will be loosed by the devil, though we do not know exactly what the source will be or how he'll do it. And maybe Niagara Falls may break loose, who knows. But anyway, the earth will open its mouth and swallow up the flood. Could mean that it absorbs the water. Amen? That may be how it takes place. Or it could mean that that a crater is opened up and swallows up the water. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I do know it's going to happen. Amen? It's not the how, but we just know that God said it and it's going to happen. That's all that matters. Amen? Just like the rapture, I don't know when it's going to take place, but I do know it's going to take place. So I don't know exactly how this is going to happen, but the Bible says that the devil is going to send a flood of water, and God's going to protect the children of Israel, protect Israel from that flood, and the earth itself is going to open up and swallow up the water. However that takes place is the way God wants to do it. You can read Genesis chapter 4, verse number 11. You can also read Numbers chapter 16, verse 32. There's two other accounts where the earth soaked up blood from Abel's blood in Genesis chapter number 4, and then also sucked up, swallowed up water in Numbers chapter 16, verse 32. Read that, study that, and that'll help you. All right, let me give you this real quickly. There's war in heaven, and Satan is cast out. We find that through verse 7 and 12. This is the most wonderful and thrilling scene every child of God longs to see whenever the devil is cast out. Michael and the elect angels will fight with the devil and his fallen angels, defeating them and casting them out of heaven. Michael is described as one of the chief princes in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, and as a great prince in Daniel chapter 12. A prince is the son of a king, and Michael is a son of God, the great king, Job chapter 1, verse 6, Job chapter 38, verse number 7. Daniel chapter 12, we see that Michael is associated with the defense of Israel. In Jude 9, we find that Michael is an archangel. This event is described as war in heaven. We're not told anything about it except that Satan is defeated and cast out. Amen? And so, listen, I want to try to be encouragement to you tonight, and help you see and understand, according to Scripture, that sorry, rotten devil that bothers us and troubles us and tempts us and accuses us and tries to persecute us, his days are coming. Amen? He will be cast out of heaven, and he's going to be cast into the bottomless pit. Amen? Forever and ever. There's not a hint that any man has anything to do with this victory of Satan being cast out. There's a movement today, particularly of charismatic realm and some other evangelicals, that say that they have searched this thing of spiritual warfare and they say that it goes far beyond Scripture, and that man has this thing called a territorial spirits, and they get to bind these spirits and all kinds of crazy hogwash is that. I'm not going to get into all that, try to explain all that. Listen, there's a crowd out there that has some crazy beliefs. I'll put it that way. Amen. The Bible doesn't give man any ability to do that. It doesn't say that man had anything to do with that. It's Michael, the archangel. Amen. And they fight, and the devil loses, and he's kicked out. Amen. And he's cast into the bottomless pit. Amen. So his days are numbered. Amen. His days are coming. He's not always going to be able to terrorize and torture and aggravate people. Notice with me, if you would, the dragon was wroth, and the woman, verse number 17, went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keepeth the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's battling with Israel. He's battling with Israel, all right? You got that? Let me back up. That wasn't actually the verse I wanted to read. Verse number 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. That's after the rapture of the church. This is at the 3.5-year tribulation period is the time we're talking about in this scripture. And the Bible even says that great tribulation time, amen, the great tribulation period. It's at that time whenever the devil is cast out of heaven, he loses the battle, he's cast out of heaven, and he's loose for just a short time. Later, after the fact, we'll get into that later on in the Revelation, he's loose for a little short time. Listen, he knows his days are numbered, his time is short, and he has to turn up the heat, do all he can do. Amen. And he certainly want to try to do that now, try to accuse us, and try to tempt us, try to get us discouraged, get us to quit. It would make him so happy to throw in the towel. If we throw in the towel and just quit on God, quit serving the Lord, quit being faithful, quit trying to live for God, that'd make him really happy. Amen. He would succeed in wrecking and ruining your testimony and your life if you let him do that. He's not a winner. Amen. I want you to understand that tonight. The devil is not a winner. He's a loser, and he has been from the beginning, and he always will be a loser. Amen. And we're not on the losing side. We're on the winning team. We're on God's side. Amen. We're the children of God, and God will bless, and God will protect, and God will take care of his people. Amen. And I believe that. I believe that being the Scripture, amen, being the truth of the Word of God, that God will take care of His people. God's going to take care of the church just as He's going to take care of His own there, the children of Israel. God will take care of us. The problem we have today is so many people are given in to the lies, to the deception, and to the ruin of the devil. He deceives many, amen. And he tempts a lot of people, and tempts them with all different types of things. He deceives them into thinking it's okay and that it's good. There's a lot of buildings called churches. The folks are deceived and thinking it's good and it's right, whenever according to the Word of God, it's absolutely wrong. God's not there. God's not having anything to do with that. But they're going through all the motions, and they're deceived of the devil. Many, the Bible says, will say unto me in that day. Amen. And there's a lot like that today. And so it's our goal, it's our job to study the Word of God, stay in the Word of God, stay on our knees before God, and have a close personal relationship with Him. Be Spirit-led and not fleshly-led. And let the Lord lead us in the right directions. Amen. Because the devil certainly is a loser. Amen. The title of my message tonight is The Devil's a Loser. Amen. Hope that's a help to you. Don't get discouraged. Don't get down. Don't get depressed. Amen. We're on the winning side. And listen, it ain't going to be long. The devil's time is limited. His days are numbered. He's limited to what he can do. There ain't nothing that can touch you or me, the one that God doesn't allow. Amen. Not a thing that the devil can do that God doesn't allow him to do. And most of the time when people fall into sin, it's because they gave in to his temptation, they gave in to his devices, and they didn't trust the Lord to deliver them and lean on his promises. Amen. So we got to try to stay as close to the Lord as we can. Amen. Stay in your Bible. Stay on your knees and stay before God. Amen. Don't give him an inch because he'll become a ruler. Amen. The devil's a loser. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the